World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, I'm gonna give you fair warning that this show may not be all for all of you. Not for any reason, and it might be a little bit dry. It's gonna be somewhat of a history lesson, which, by the way, we all need. I had the opportunity to go to Worthington Kilbourne High School to address a bunch of seniors yesterday. So I just want to give you kind of a full report on exactly what happened, and again, what the Holy Spirit showed me. I said to the people in the pre-show before we went live here, if we don't get this generation, it's over. It's over. So just bear with me here a little bit, okay? And this is not going to be a whole lot of gospel, although the gospel is going to be mingled in it for sure. But this is going to be a keeper, okay? This is going to be a keeper. And I would ask you, maybe when this whole thing's over, that you would share it with other people, okay? Let me jump in. Here's why I do what I do. Spencer, I just sent you an email. Sent it to Jared, a standalone email. And I spoke to our grandbabies. That's my daughter Maggie's children. And I told the kids, the young men, young women, 17, 18-year-old kids yesterday, this is why I fight. This is why I fight. The Bible says that a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's why I go to war every day. Not about money, not about the American government, not about anything else. Those little munchkins right there, they're going to live in the world I leave them, folks. They're going to live in the world. And we can ignore it all we want to. And I think how precious those five little, those little arrows are to us, that little new one there. And I told the kids yesterday, you're going to govern my grandchildren. The kids in that room, you 18-year-olds, you're going to govern my grandchildren. And that's why I'm here. Because they've taught you lies and propaganda and yada, 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 yada. So if you want to know why I do what I do, there it is. There it is. And that's just... How many is that? Five of them. I've got a bunch more of them. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So sit back for a minute, if you don't mind, and let me take you on a journey for history that you don't know. Probably they didn't know. No idea. They had no idea. And by the way, I asked the kids again. I was there for four classes, 50 minutes each. And man, it drained me. But I was focused, and I was sharp, and I was engaged. And they are so lost. I did give them the gospel. I gave every class the gospel. Explained the gospel, what it's all about, salvation, why you have to be saved. I put all that in there. Most of them had never heard it. But at the beginning of each class, I said, I got to do a survey in here because I promised people with Coach Dave Live that I would ask this question. How many of you are regular churchgoers? Regular churchgoers. Now, five classes, 30 piece. How many is that? Five times 30, 150. Spoke to 150 students yesterday. How many of you are regular churchgoers? It was odd. Of the five classes, all of them had eight people raise their hand. So in five classes of 150, 40 go to church regular. 40. Folks, did you hear what I just said? 40 go to church. Now, I didn't ask what kind of church they went to. That's a whole different ballgame. But they have been so lied to and propagandized. And I wrote up on the board, I said, here's the question of the day. And thank you to you guys out there, Coach Dave Live, because you're the ones that gave me the idea. What question do you think I wrote at the top? Who told you that? And why do you believe me? And every time somebody said, made a contrary comment to what I was saying, I turned and pointed at the board, said, who told you that? And why do you believe them? And I think the more that we begin to apply, all of us, the more we begin to apply those. You know, Robert F. Kennedy's coming out now. Paul, this would be a good one for you. He is coming out hard after the pharmaceutical companies. Folks, I don't know if he's going to stay alive, because he's busting it out for what it is. Saying one drug causes another problem, which they have to give you another drug for that problem they just caused because they're trying to fix the first problem. Right, Paul? Isn't that what's going on? And so you ask somebody, go to a doctor, say, why do you believe the doctor? Well, he's a doctor. Yeah, I know he is. So was Kevorkian. Well, what does that mean, right? What's the line again? Who told you that and why do you believe it? And I said this, I'm going to tell you this. You can believe me because I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell a lie. And why am I not going to tell a lie? Boom! And that led into the Ten Commandments. And I wrote the Ten Commandments up on the board. Not one child in that entire class could name any of the Ten Commandments. Well, they stumbled around. Don't murder. They didn't. Not one of them knew the Ten Commandments. Not one of them. And, this ain't some hilljack school. This is Worthington, Ohio, a rich, wealthy suburb of Columbus, Ohio. These ain't clunkers. Top line kids. They didn't know nothing. Okay, can I jump in here with me real quick? I want to explain. I'm going to do this for all of you, and just bear with me, okay? And then I'm going to open it up. I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a lot of information today. Okay, first half hour. Just bear with me. Let me try to give you some information here. Okay. So I went in there. And I told them I'd been lied to. And then I found out that, you know, that I asked them, anybody know First Ten Amendments Constitution? Of course, they didn't have any idea. I don't even know if they knew what the Constitution was. You know the preamble? I don't think anybody knew it. I don't think they had any idea. So here's what I did. I talked to them about organic law. I'm looking over here. Number one, you guys, I'm going to go quickly. Stay with me. And Spencer put all these links in there so you guys can study them later. Does anybody out there know what organic law is? Now, of course, they didn't know what organic law was. And most of you don't know what organic law is. It's B, relating to being or dealt with. No, that's not it. Going down. Having the character. No. Organic law has to do with natural being born, natural, organic, grow. And so if something's going to grow, then you need to know the organic beginning of it. Where did law begin? Organic law. Okay, there it is. Thank you. Of, relating to, or constituting the law by which a government organization exists. So I asked them, do you know what organic law is? And of course, they had no idea what organic law. And I said, organic law begins where? Where does organic law begin? Number two, it begins with, number two, Spencer. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the organic law. And by the way, I wrote this on the board. These are the Ten Commandments. And notice, as I said before, when you look at the Ten Commandments, five of them have to do with your relationship to God. The other five have to do with your relationship to your fellow man. Love God. Don't make idols. Don't take his name in vain. Keep holy Sabbath day. And then it kind of shifts. Honor your father and mother. But then the next one have to do with how we deal with one another. You shall not murder, shall not commit adultery, shall not steal, shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, shall not covet. And I said, okay, can somebody explain to me? Can anybody explain to me why murder is wrong? Who came up with the idea that murder is wrong? And that we go to war and we kill people. Is that murder? I can't get bogged down. I'm trying to explain all this to you, right? The difference between murder and justifiable homicide. Do we have any idea? These are the top-ranked kids in Central Ohio. These ain't dummies. First of all, I offered $100 to reach my wallet. I'm not making this up. I reached my wallet and I pulled it out and I said, okay, $100 to anybody who can tell me the Ten Commandments. I still got my money, buddy. Still got my money. I said, don't you guys understand this is organic law? Don't you understand we used to post these in our schools because we expected everybody in the school to follow those laws? Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet. We expected everybody to do that. Why aren't those posted in here? Anyway, let me move on. Okay. So you know what the organic law was? It was the Ten Commandments. But see, following the Ten Commandments, just in modern civilization, they gave us number three, the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta. What was the Magna Carta? I didn't give them all that stuff I'm giving you here. I'm talking fast, okay? These links will be you. These links, folks, these links will be there for you. When was the Magna Carta? Why, June 15th, 1215. It was drafted by Archbishop of Canterbury, Cardinal Stephen Langton, to make peace between the unpopular king and some rebels. The Magna Carta, first real document based on Bible. Organic law, follow the trail with me here. What year was that? 1215. So after the Magna Carta, and England was crazy for 1215. And finally, the pilgrims had enough of it. They're part of the Church of England. They said, we got to get the hell out of here. And they jumped on a boat and they sailed across the ocean and they wrote what was called the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact, the first governmental document in the New World. Now, listen, they brought up, well, Indians were here and that, you know, all that stuff that they, all that crap at them. Yeah, I know. We killed Indians and all that crap that they've been fed at school. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Ain't got nothing to do with it. These guys came here. And what was the mission statement of the Mayflower Compact? Scroll down, Spencer. How's the Mayflower Compact start out? That's not it. It's a set of rules and regulations. You can look at all this. It starts out to the glory of God. Amen. See if it does. Huh? There it is. Well, nope. Point of the kind. Text on the Mayflower Compact. Where is it, Spencer? Keep going. Or is it above? The text, there it is. Huh? Organic law. Organic law. In the name of God, amen, whose names are underwritten, the Lord, subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, yada, yada, have undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why the pilgrims came. For the advancement of the Christian faith. And witness whereof we have unto signed, subscribed our names here, Cape Cod, the 11th of November, what year? 1620. I'm not real smart. Was that 500 years ago? 500 years ago? And then they want to tell us we're not a Christian nation anymore. The foundation. See, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So I said, okay, there we go. Mayflower Compact. For the advancement of the Christian faith, we formed a Christian nation. And then after that, when that thing, they needed a little bit of organization, they had the Articles of Confederation, but Thomas Jefferson and the boys came up with what they called the Declaration of Independence. Pull up the Declaration of Independence. And what does it say? What does it tell us about? It tells us we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And to serve and secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And that when any form of government becomes destructive of these needs, it's the right of the people. It's the right of the J6ers. It's the right of the J6ers to alter it or abolish it. And to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall meet most, scroll down, Spencer, shall meet the most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed to light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while they're sufferable than to right them through a long train of abuses. We're starting our new country. Declaration of Independence. When was that? 1776. So they had declared that in 1776, and a year later, they started the Articles of Confederation, number 6. And what was the Articles of Confederation? They didn't have a government yet, so they set up a set of rules and regulations on what the heck they were going to do, and it was called the Articles of Confederation. I'm not going to take you through it. I'm just trying to show you organic law, which the kids at Worthington Kilbourne don't know. I don't know what they're teaching them in history class, but probably transgender history and gay rights history, probably what they're being taught. Betty, give me an amen. Give me an amen. So here's the Articles of Confederation, and what did it do? It gave some organization to what was going on in America. But that didn't work very good because they were so spread out and they didn't want it to work. So they said, okay, look, okay, 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 we got it. Articles of Confederation doesn't work. Let's do this. Let's organize a constitution. Number seven, let's organize a constitution. And let's start with a preamble, which is going to explain what it is we're going to do. Put go on there. Go back up here, Spencer. You could have clicked right at the top. It said preamble. Preamble. Huh? We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, and promote the general welfare and the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. Mission statement, all right? That's our government. That's the mission statement. And one, I want you to watch this. The very first rule. Number one, who I'm number one. You're number one. Everybody likes to be number one. I want to be number one. Okay, what's number one say? What's number one say? Huh? No, not Article One. Where am I here? What am I talking about here? Talking about the Declaration of Independence, right? First Amendment. First Amendment. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Now, dudes, we just read the Mayflower Compact, and they came here to establish a religion. That's why they came here. But see, we don't understand the word religion. Religion is, see, well, they came from the Church of England. Everybody had to, the king was the head of the church and the head of the government. They said, that sucks. We ain't going to do that anymore. There'll be no more established national church in this new country. Now, hang on. Pull up for me. Where is it? 7B. Pull up 7B. Hey! The first thing they talked about was freedom of religion. First thing. I bet you didn't know this. Don't feel bad. Neither did the kids at Worthington and Kilborn, where the teachers are making $70,000 a year. Maybe 80. I don't know. Making a lot. To tell them lies. Who told you that and why do you believe them? I must have said that 100 times yesterday. Scroll down. Did you guys know this? The original 13 colonies? When they said that there would be, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, the religion they were talking about, Presbyterian, Lutheran, we weren't going to be the Church of England. Every religion was going to be free. Did you know that Massachusetts Bay were Puritans? Connecticut were also Puritans with a congregational church. New Hampshire was Puritan, largely congregational. Rhode Island was founded by Roger Williams, and they became, oh my God, they became Baptists. The state of Rhode Island was Baptist. New York later became what? Dutch Reformed. New Jersey had the official church was pluralism, and they had Presbyterians and Dutch, so they didn't have any real religion in the state. And Pennsylvania was founded by William Penn, and they were Quakers. Anybody ever eat Quaker Oats? Huh? You ever eat Quaker Oats? That's because Pennsylvania religion was Quakers. And Delaware, originally a part of Pennsylvania, established a church Anglican. So when they said there's a separation between the church and the state, they said the federal government isn't going to make all of us be Anglican. But we're Christians. This is a Christian country. And we're going to be Christians, and we're going to serve the Lord according to our personal beliefs. You want to be a Catholic? Come to Maryland. Why? Maryland became as a Catholic refuge. Maryland. Virginia was the home of the Church of England. And they were established that. North Carolina was the Church of England. But they had some Baptists and Presbyterians and Quakers. South Carolina was the Church of England. They all went in Georgia. Why? They were the Church of England too. But it was population was religiously mixed. That Anglicans, Lutherans, and Protestants. Why? Because there was no established religion. Meaning this. You didn't have to be a Baptist to live in Maryland. It'd be whatever you wanted to, but it was a Christian. Anybody picking this up? It was a Christian nation. We were established as a Christian nation. All government. Hey, I don't think I pulled it up. I can feel this. I don't know if you know. Articles of Confederation. You guys know about it? Pull that up there. 1777. They came up with the Articles of Confederation. So how we could all get together, and religion was free and open. 1770, we're talking about organic law, how we got where we are today. Organic law. Hang on, still moving on here. So after the Articles of Confederation didn't work, it worked, but didn't work good enough. So they said, all right, well, let's go to number seven. Let's come up with the United States Constitution. Let's pull that one up. Number seven? U.S. Constitution. And what's the first thing they said? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Why? Because they were bringing together all these different Christian denominations, and they say, we ain't going to be a denominational country, but we're a Christian country. You with me? Come on now. They're so light. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? All right, so then 7B, I did that one. So all along we go, up a little bit in history, in 1803, they gave us a Supreme Court decision called Marbury versus Madison. And you know what? At the heart, anybody out there know, at the main quote we should all remember in Marbury versus Madison in 1803. Does anybody know the main quote? If they were going to make a sign about Marbury and Madison, anybody know what it would be? I'll tell you what it was. Any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. Marbury versus Madison. They cannot take a law. They cannot make a law making Christianity illegal. They can't do it. It's null and void. Why? Because the Constitution guarantees you the right. What? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So you can pray before a football game, and not everybody has to pray, but you're allowed to. If Paul Gosin doesn't want me to pray, well, good for Paul Gosin. I can pray. He don't have to. Freedom of freedom, freedom. Anything repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. Am I doing okay? You guys tracking with me here? Because I'm talking fast. Putting all this in the chat because you guys don't know it, and they sure as hell didn't know it. Been programmed by these God-hating liberal, they're everywhere in the public schools. And even the good teachers, they can't open their mouth. They'll be afraid they're going to lose their job. They open their mouth. Because, see, there's no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of speech. Somebody help me out. Isn't prayer speech? Isn't prayer speech? And they're going to tell me I can't pray with a football team? How the hell are they going to do that? Freedom is, okay, remember, any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. They can't make a law against free exercise of faith. Can't make a law. But we got a bunch of them, don't we? So hang on. Let's go. Marbury, Madison. I read 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This is when things started to go bad. And I talked about this yesterday. See, the girls... How do I say this in a nice way? I tried to explain to those kids yesterday, those girls, by the way, they were sweeter this time than normal, that the greatest thing that they would ever do is be a mom. Greatest thing that they would ever do in their lives. Not a career, not being famous. To take a child and train him up in the way he should go will be the greatest experience of your life. And folks, they've been taught children are a hindrance to their future. They're a hindrance to the future. And the most devastating thing to ever hit the American society, well, that says a mouthful, was the women's right to vote. And here's why I'm going to say this. Please understand this, okay? Please remember who told you that and why you believe it. Up until then, the man was the head of the house. He spoke for the house. The dad did. Head of the household. Voted for the family. And then women's lib came along from the devil. I have 10 granddaughters. Is that right? I got a bunch of granddaughters. I love them all, and I want them to have all the same rights. But they know that the head of the house is their husband. And why would a house ever go where the father, husband votes for a Republican and the wife votes for a Democrat? Or how about, what do you suppose the odds are of women that we've trained now in America, what do you suppose the odds are that they're voting for conservative Christian values? Single women, huh? What are the odds? Remember, how many of them yesterday went to church? Yeah. So, this opened a floodgate. Now I'm going to, look, give me a couple more minutes and I'm going to open it up. This gave floodgate. When women got the right to vote because it destroyed the family structure. Time out. I'm all for women's rights. I'm all for it. But some, oh, this, I don't even know how to tie this all together. Some woman, I'm going to be kind of vulgar here. Some woman goes out, gets drunk, spreads her legs, gets knocked up, has a baby, and then she votes for welfare. Why does she vote for welfare? Because there ain't no head of the house. Ain't no husband. In fact, she'll go cruising around at the bar and she'll go get knocked up again. And she'll have another baby daddy. And we pay more money to support her baby daddy. Because why? Because she's going to go vote for it. She's going to vote for more money. She wants Paul Gosling to give her more money. She wants Mark Trump to give her more money. So she can go out and go to the bar and get drunk and get knocked up and have another baby. And then the government gets, you might think, and we call it WIC, and we call it all this stuff, right? And most of it, if we would look at it, of these government payouts, it is rebellious women married to rebellious men. And I took them through the marriage vows, and I asked them, well, Doc, you could have heard a pin drop on this one. I said, let me ask you something. What's a vow? What's a vow? Are you a man of your word? Are you a woman of your word? Can people trust what you say? And then I said this, how many of you now live in a home where your mommy and your daddy looked each other in the eye and said, for better, for worse, for richer and poorer, sickness and health, forsaking all others, give myself unto you for as long as we both shall live. So help me, God. And then they broke that vow. Could have heard a pin drop. And are you better off today because your mommy and daddy broke that vow? Are you better off now? Oh, why don't you go back to the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not lie. See, it all connects. You get it? It all connects together. Here's the problem. We don't know how to articulate it. We in the church think sin is normal. We think it's normal. And so we love to go to the scriptures and say, we got to take care of the women and orphans. Well, hell, they didn't expect them to be on every corner. Women and orphans, because we've turned away from morality. Okay, I'm about done. So I'm going to take you down the journey here, okay? So Marbury versus Madison said, all laws repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Then the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote. Follow track with me here. 1919 happening. It happened in our, well, I wasn't born in 1919. This is all recent stuff as the enemy crept in. Okay. Anything repugnant in the Constitution is null and void. Hey, Paul, if they tell you you can't go into the Capitol and speak your mind, that's unconstitutional, dude. They can't lock you up for that. You have the right to petition your government for a redress of grievances. You have a right to, no, I'm sorry. Bible says, the Constitution says you got a duty. Declaration. You got a duty. You got a duty to go do it. And then they tell you, no, you can't do that. Can't come in here, we'll throw you in jail. Can't come in here, right? Okay, hang on. I'm about done. And then 10, follow the dates here, okay? 1803, Marbury, Mrs. Madison, repugnant to the Constitution. Women's right to vote, 1920, and all hell breaks loose. 1947, Everson versus the Board of Education. Bring it up. Here starts the slide. 1947, and what Everson versus the Board of Education do? Although the Establishment Clause does not require governments to avoid excessive entanglements with religion, it is permissible for a state to reimburse, blah, 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 blah. So here's what was going on. Catholics were using public schools, buses, to transport the kids. And somebody got mad, said, well, long story, can't do that. And so they took it, Everson took it to the school, to the Constitution. I don't want to pay for those kids to go to Catholic schools. That's what it was. But I don't want to pay for it. And so the Supreme Court rules in favor of Everson, saying, can't do that because there's a, you ready? Separation between the church and state. That's where it originated, 1947. By the way, separation of morality and state. The government just divorced itself from God. Now, hang on. Who did? The government? No. Seven justices. Seven justices divorced America from God. 1947. Hang on, I'm about done. Okay? 1962. 1947, they said there was a separation between the church and state. In 1962, they gave us Engel versus Vital. And what did Engel versus Vital say? Can't be doing that prayer stuff. Can't be doing that. No, you can't have prayer in schools. Engel versus, by the way, George Washington, first president, the first duty he did as president of the United States was order Bibles for the schools. Engel versus Vitale, 1962, open the floodgates.
I left prayer in school. That happened 3 years later. They took prayer out of school. Took the Bible out of prayer. Took the Bible out of school. Prayer out of school. And then, what did they do in 12? Because there's a separation between the church and state, meaning there's a separation between morality and state. Give me number 12, Spencer. Okay, wait a minute. Constitution. Okay, number 12, Roe versus Wade. Because government doesn't have to follow Christian rules, because we are a secular, atheistic government, who the hell cares about killing a baby? Who the hell cares? So they gave us Roe versus Wade. And every girl, it's not true, very few girls in that room yesterday were for, were against abortion. They all saw it as a woman's right to do what she wants to do with her body. Said, are you your mom? Are you your mom's body? Where's your mom? You're here. Where's her? Where's she? If you're her body, where are you? Huh? They've been so lied to, and we haven't countered the argument at all. We let them promote lies, and we don't even know how to counter it. Okay. I could give you more. I've said a half hour. You gave me 32 minutes. I want you to know this. When it was over, I did 5 classes. When I was over, 20 minutes after it was over, I was still in a room filled with 17-year-old kids asking questions. Makes me want to weep. How hungry they are. And how we're permitting them to be starved. And who's going to pay? Pull up that picture, Spencer. The first one, they're going to pay. You do know right now, don't you, folks, that all across the world, they're slaughtering Christians. You know that, don't you? And here we sit. You ever been to church, got a history lesson like you just got right there? Ever heard that in your church? Do you think it would be important for Christians to know that stuff? We know how to be tolerant, diverse, and loving, accept homosexuals, accept transgenderism, who are you to judge? And what? We know all those. Because those are passive and safe. You never get in trouble for loving somebody. You get in trouble for telling them the truth. Ask Charlie Kirk. I came home yesterday. I told Michelle, "That's what ought to be. That ought to be my full-time job. Right? I ought to be doing that every day. Every youth group in America ought to be doing it every day." Because if we don't train up a child in the way he should go, when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. They have fed us nothing but lies. The Supreme Court has given us the opinions of men rather than foundations of organic law, which we've seen. They reject Christianity. We have non-Christians on the Supreme Court telling Christians what they must do, what rules they have to follow, and what rules we're not going to follow. Non-Christians. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. They overturned Roe versus Wade. Think about this. The Supreme Court said, well, we're going to overturn it because that's not in our jurisdiction. That's a state's rights issue. So in other words, you can murder babies in the state. If your state votes for it, you can murder babies. If your state doesn't vote for it, well, you can't murder it then. So murder becomes a state's rights issue. And those kids,
in that school, they could not make the pro-life argument if you gave them $1 million. Because they're programmed by evil. Come on in, Joe. I'll shut up.
Couple things, Coach. Going back to 13 colonies, they had their religion on their state seal on their flag.
That's right. That's right.
When the state separation of the church and state, the seals were changed. The second thing, Coach, You did an excellent job with those students. One thing missing, though, the teachers need to be in that program.
Well, they can't, Joe.
Of the students see.
No, Joe. Oh, the teachers need to be in there. I thought you meant that. Okay, they needed to be in there. Hey, Joseph. No. Your entire freaking church needs to be in there.
That's right.
They ain't got no clue either of exactly what's going on, right? And I'm going to tell you, the teachers are teaching them lies on purpose. No, they're probably good people. But they're believing like, hey, Paul, he told you that, and why do you believe him?
When we do
the research, we find out they've been telling us a lie. I'm sorry, Joe, I keep walking on you. I feel that you had to feel what I felt yesterday. Lambs to the slaughter. Lambs to the slaughter. I said to one of those girls, pretty young, 17-year-old girl, I said, let me ask you something. What is a pretty girl like you? I'm not talking about you, I told her. I'm not talking about you. But why does a pretty young girl like you get on Facebook and twerk? Strip down your clothes and twerk and dance half naked for all the world to see? Why do they do that? I don't have the answer. You? What happened to modesty? So didn't you understand she's embarrassing her mom and her dad and her cousins? No sense of decency? Folks, we don't teach it. We don't teach decency. They couldn't name the team. Oh, anyway, okay. I said I'd shut up. Lorianne, come on in. Get my grandkids off the screen, please. Go ahead, Lorianne.
Good morning. You have me crying.
Lorianne,
Lorianne,
folks, your pastor won't say a damn thing about the public schools. Go ahead, Lorianne.
No, but maybe because like what you're doing right now. Some I've been looking for my daughter. I'm sorry. For 30 years to teach her this stuff because I'm always the fight. Yeah, I'm a single mom, and yeah, I got pregnant and blah, 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 right? But I've been trying to teach her and raise her in the way she should go. And guys, and her dad wasn't held accountable.
That's right. Hey, well, hey, it's a woman's right, baby. You know? Hey, Lorianne, it's a woman's right. So man can go out and get a woman knocked up, say, hey, her choice, not mine. Go ahead.
And then he can walk away because that baby doesn't have his DNA in it.
Yeah.
You know, so... And then he walks away and she's left with, you know, do I, you know, what am I supposed to do? You know, and then the whole communist agenda that's being pushed through all the schools, the librarians making zines, you know, this propaganda, teaching these kids having these taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. So you got classes being taught all this communist agenda in the background, but nobody's talking about it. And MAGA won't address it. Mm. So you get this pulse with these kids because they want the Gen Zers. They want whatever they are.
Hang on, Lorianne. I'm going to move on there. So look, folks. Somebody asked me the other day, Coach Dave, why don't they hire you as football coach at Lakewood? Why don't they hire? That's my local school. Because they didn't give it to me 10 years ago, whatever, because I was a Christian. And I said, well, they didn't hire me because I'm not a queer. Come on in, Mark.
Coach, it's amazing listening each time you go do this. And each time I think, how in the world and why do they let you? But you've answered that. It's because they let LGBT people come in and speak. They bring others in to teach alternative views to your own.
Amen.
And then I'm thinking, as great as Coach is teaching, and as amazing as it is, Lorraine, I mean, it's all of these things, think about how bad those others are that come in and teach.
Oh, Mark, they brought Bill Ayers. Mark, they bring in Bill Ayers from Chicago. Bill Ayers.
Right. He comes in and speaks. So why couldn't you get an agenda for these speeches? And let's take a look at the balance. See, you're on one side of this seesaw in these children's heads. They're hearing all this other stuff. How many people are on the other side teaching them evil, paganism, atheistic stuff? How many? Like, you're there once a month. How many of these sessions do they have? Four? So they're getting their head filled. But see what I mean, Coach?
Yeah, no,
What's the agenda for these kind of speeches? Will they allow you to have it? There's a reason why you're getting allowed to do this, Coach. It's amazing. I just wanted to point all that out for this group.
So here's what I said yesterday. I went to the teacher's a great guy. I've been going there since 2000. How many years is that? I've been doing it for 24 years. It's the same class.
Wow.
I do it at the other school too, but 24 years, twice a year. So how many times are presentations? And I said to the teacher yesterday, I said, listen, I got an idea. How about you let me bring my daughters in and let them talk about the joys of being a mother?
Well,
because hearing that? Huh? Are the girls hearing? Two young girls, 10 grandbabies. Let them talk in about, I had to sacrifice this, but boy, I got this out of it. Oh, I got, right? Can you imagine how powerful that would be?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
that's something to pray for. We'll see if he lets us do it. Because, folks, they're hearing the other side. They're hearing the entire other side. It's sad, man. Somebody, come on in. Come on. I've calmed down a bit. Go ahead, Mark. Keep going.
No. If you can get that agenda, though, I think that's an action. Mark. And I don't know who has it, but what other speeches are they getting? I'd love to see.
Well, I think he's a good guy. I think he might be. I'm going to follow up with him. So can I bring my two daughters in? Let them talk about the joys of motherhood, the choices you have to make in that.
Amen.
You think those girls need to hear that? No. They're thinking about getting a job and going to college, and they ain't thinking about doing that. They're thinking about that. And I said, do you guys see the consequences of breaking the vows? How many of you are living in a broken family? How many of you do not live with both your mom and dad? How many of you? Now, they didn't raise their hand, but we know how many are, right? We know. I said, the wages of sin is death. Your mom and dad didn't keep their vows, and your family life died. Died. Because your mom raised her hand and said, forsaking all others, give myself unto you for as long as we both shall live. And then she went out and separated.
And you just gave us how to do it. You just taught us. You gave us all the links. You gave us the history lesson that you gave them.
That's right.
You just taught us. That's what is missing in the churches, is how do you go out and say these things? Well, you just taught us, Coach. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So the question then becomes, Mark, what are we going to do? Well, you saw what happened with Roe versus Wade, right? The Supreme Court, for how many years, from 1973 to 2000, whenever they turned it over, for 50 years, they said a woman had a constitutional right to murder her babies. And then all of a sudden, the Supreme Court says, whoops, whoops, I guess we don't have that right. And it went to the states, and the states said, oh, yeah, well, we'll do it. We'll let them kill babies. We'll let them kill them. It's because why? We've been brainwashed through the schools, through the public schools. And say it again. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, okay? I don't have an answer for you. You can't put your children in those public schools. You can't do it. You say, well, our daughter, she's part of a good youth group at her church. All right. I saw those kids yesterday. I saw the youth group kids there yesterday. And they had no understanding. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. They couldn't explain why abortion was wrong. They could not answer any question. Christian children could not answer any question and why that's something wrong. And the answer being, because the Bible says this, The Bible's just the church is just a club. They're just part of a club, a Presbyterian club, non-denominational club. They get up on Sunday morning and they go to their club. Some people go to the country club. They go to church. Other than that, they don't do anything with their faith. They hide it. They hide it. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, see, what you're talking about is so, so critical. That the constitutional right, the woman has a constitutional right. We lost it with the words because there are no such thing as constitutional rights.
That's right.
There are only God-given rights guaranteed by the Constitution. You can't find new ones in the 14th Amendment. You can't do it. But that's what they do because we believe that they have constitutionally given rights.
Hey, Jack, preamble of the Constitution. Spencer, can you pull that back up there real quickly? Folks, come on. Come on. No, we the people of the United States. We're a former Pearl Union of Savage Justice. I'm not someone I'm looking for. What was I looking for? First Amendment. Congress shall make no law regarding establishment of religion. Anyway, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where is that? My brain's crazy. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they said, well, the baby's not alive yet. So why do they have to kill it? What do you mean it's not alive? Abortion kills a baby. Oh, thank you. In the Declaration of Independence. Thank you, man. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. See, you can't pursue happiness if you got to murder somebody to be happy. You're in that order on purpose. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But I can't murder you because I want to be happy. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Thank you, Spencer. I'll send you $2. That all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator, unalienable right can be taken away then. And that among these unalienable rights of life. See, if you don't have any life, liberty doesn't matter and pursuit of happiness doesn't matter. If you don't have the right to life. And it doesn't say that you have the right to kill your baby so you can have liberty and happiness. Life. Life. If the baby's not alive, why do you have to kill it? It's just changing locations. Said, well, my mom's got her own body. I was part of her body. Where is she? Where is your mom? Oh, she's a working here. How the hell did that happen? Well, when I came out, what are you talking about? You were alive from the moment of conception, dude.
Amen.
It's a violation of law. And then the Supreme Court says, we were wrong. We'll let the states decide whether murder is okay. Violation of the Constitution. Jack.
Yeah, just a little note there. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness was not the original. It was life, liberty, and property, but they couldn't do that because they wanted to free the slaves, and they couldn't be held property. There was a big debate whether how they were going to word that, and it was originally property, and we would be better off with that, but they were wanting to not include people as property.
Okay, so Jack, so I told him this yesterday, you dummies, to the black kids. I said to the black kids, you know what they did to you, your ancestors? They dehumanized them. They said blacks weren't people. They said blacks were animals. They made you be slaves because they said you weren't a person. Don't you know that's what they do to babies? The same argument they used to keep you enslaved, they use now to kill babies. Blacks aren't people. Unborn babies aren't people. The argument hadn't changed. Same damn argument. Mark.
The women's right thing. The baby woman at week 6 has organs for me. It's actually a little woman before week 6 at conception. It's a little woman.
Half of them are women.
I know. It's a little woman inside of her. And so that means the logic is that a woman can decide another woman's rights. You see where I'm headed? Because if a woman has rights, a man can't take them, but another woman can because they abort. Mm. And it's a little woman in there with the same rules applied to all of their little women stuff.
Right.
At week six, it's got female organs starting. You see?
So many
arguments against their logic, Coach.
These are all kids that are going to go to college, folks. This is upper echelon. These are good kids. I mean, these are smart kids, right? They're all smart kids. And you ask them a simple question like this, and they don't have the ability to use logic. Logic says if it applies here, then it applies here. They ignore logic.
Correct.
They ignore it. Because it doesn't fit what they've been programmed and believe. So they never have any teachers in here that's a staunch women's liber. Oh, they covered their mouths and kind of chuckled because you know there's a bunch of them in there. Tell them it's okay to murder a baby. Tell them it's okay for a man to put his penis in another man's anus. Tell them that's normal. They're being told that's normal. They have the right to do that. See, you have the right to have homosexual sex, but you don't have the right to live. See how screwed up we are? Hey, friends, you know what this is? It's an expose on the American church. That even the 25% that went to church, they couldn't articulate it. I explained the gospel to them. I wrote up on the board three parts, soul, spirit, body. Body, soul, spirit. Talked to them. Talked about sin, judgment, why Christ died. When you die, your spirit returns to God. Your body goes into the dust. Your soul man's still alive, and your soul man's going to be judged. You've committed sin. You've broken the law. You're going to go stand before the judge. He's going to sentence you to death. But Jesus came in and Jesus said, I'll die in his place. Jesus didn't say, it's okay what you've done. It's all good. He said, it's all good. I'll cover it. I'll pay the fine. I'll die. They didn't know the gospel. Oh, they know religion. Oh, yeah, they know religion. I'm sorry. They know religion. They don't know the gospel. They could no more, I'm telling you, they could no more lead somebody else to Christ. Maybe one or two of them could. But as a youth group, they could probably teach them how to play a lot of games. But I know this. Chances are pretty good their mommy and daddy couldn't lead anybody to Christ either. I'm harsh, aren't I? You know, I told them again yesterday. I don't know at all. But I can read and I can think. And somebody's telling you a bunch of lies. Who told you that? And why do you believe them? At the end of the day, when I had to leave, the teacher left me alone because he had to go to lunch. They would not leave. In fact, some of the others during their lunch break came up to me. They're hungry. Look, I'm not patting myself on the back. Truth pierced their heart. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, to piggyback on Mark's thing, by eight weeks, that unborn female baby is already carrying all the eggs you will ever have to produce more female babies. So it's three generations that you're killing.
No, it's a lineage. It's longer than that, Jack. It's immeasurable.
I want to thank you for doing that. That is so foundational to our survival.
That's right. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. The failure of the American church. 25%? 25% of children in that went to church? God help us. Come on, I got a few minutes left. Ask yourself this. You know the Ten Commandments? Your children know the Ten Commandments? Your grandkids know the Ten Commandments? How come they're not on the wall in school? Oh, I know why. Pull it up, Spencer. Where was it? Stone versus Graham, 1980. Did I put that in there? There it is. 1980. That wasn't that long ago, Betty. 1980. Supreme Court ruled that the posting of the Ten Commandments was unconstitutional. You can post a gay flag. You can plant 20 ways to be queer. You can plant that. You can post that. Can't post the Ten Commandments. See what it is? And it's happened because we don't care. Hell, we don't care. Don't matter to me. I homeschool my kids. Oh, yeah, well, they're using your tax dollars. Teach somebody else's kids live. That's okay with you? Hmm? Pornography, yeah, right. Pornography. I'll probably teach them how to masturbate and all that stuff. Probably do. Probably do. Stone versus Grimm. Pull down there a little bit, Spencer. What does it say? The Kentucky statute requiring posting the Ten Commandments, purchased with private contributors, blah, 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 blah. They said that's unconstitutional because there might be some people out there who don't believe the Ten Commandments, so therefore you can't teach it to children. It's religious, as if humanism isn't religious. Come on in, Paul. Thanks for rescuing me.
I'm sorry, Coach.
Hey, Paul, that's why you go through a jury of your peers and they aren't your peers. They aren't your peers, folks. They don't agree with you, what you agree. Go ahead.
Don't I know that in medicine, Coach? They're not my peers at all.
Nope, they're not.
So the good news is homeschooling, as you mentioned, is on the rise, correct, Coach?
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, Ohio is about 5%, Maine's about 5%, but, you know, places like Alaska, I guess, are 16, 17%. And if you do the absolute numbers, it's not so bad, but it actually sounds like the same percentages of the people, the little kids you talk to who go to church, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I wouldn't give up on the kid. We don't, none of us are going to give up.
I'm not giving up on the kid.
I know that. I'm just saying it just,
when let it, me show you something right here. Let me show you something here real quick. Hey, Spencer, pull up federal funding. How much per dollar, how much per child goes to the public school? Can you Google that real quick? Federal dollars to local public schools per student. Let's see. Per student. What's it say? Federal dollars. Not precise. $2,540 per year. Wait a minute. Total average funding for federal, state, and local sources was around $18,500 per student. Let me ask you a question. Why isn't the American church fighting for that $18,500 to go to the parent so they can educate them at home? Why are we sending it to the federal government to give it to the states to educate children when my daughter isn't working? Neither one of our daughters work. They suffer financially. They make a sacrifice financially because Abby's teaching her 4 and Maggie's teaching her 4, 5. She's teaching them. Shouldn't that $18,500 go to Maggie for all 5 of her children? Why does it go to the school? See, it's a beast, isn't it? It's a beast. Rochelle, quickly. Look at that.
Yeah, hey,
$18,000 per student. Goes to your local school, federal government, not property taxes, federal money. And then you got to pay for your child to go to a private school. You have to dig in your pocket and get more to send them to a private school. We're so freaking stupid, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. Good morning, team. We totally abuse our kids. I just wanted to point out that not only, you know, by what the public schools are doing, but all of our kids are medicated. Okay, this is a huge problem. We're taking their little brains and we're crushing their little spirits. I just pulled up, you know, kids on prescription drugs, and this claims that 1/5 of children and adolescents are on at least one prescription medication.
God help us. This is
insane. It's absolutely insane. We're messing with their minds. They can't even think. So not only are we torturing them in schools, the pharmaceutical companies are making money off of them, and they're not going to be able to develop naturally. It's a full-on war for our children.
Rochelle,
I promise you, our kids are not, they don't need SRI. They don't need these things. They're not, this ADHD stuff, you can't even measure it. Antidepressants, you've got a brain chemical imbalance. You ask a doctor and they don't know what chemicals are supposed to be balanced in your brain. They just say, here, try this, here, try that. And then what if the kids do have some actual problems. You can never figure out what they really are. And I promise you, a pill isn't going to fix it.
So, Rochelle, I'm running out of time. Rochelle, do you think maybe that's their goal?
It is absolutely their goal. If they can keep them away from their creator and knowing that they are something special and have a purpose, they're not going to be a contributing member of society. They're not going to care about their fellow humans.
Michelle, got to run. See you tomorrow.